John, how are you, man? How's it going?
I'm doing like everybody else right now. Just trying to keep my distance and stay safe.
John, you're from Lakewood originally?
Yes. Yep.
And an Ohio State grad.
Shout out Mally's.
There you go. Good call. Do you still have family here? I mean, you're not in Cleveland, right?
No, I'm not in Cleveland. My family's all there. My mom still lives in Lakewood. Brother's there. Sister in Strongsville. So Avon Lake, got them all over.
Nice. And how have you personally, for your job, your life, how you've been handling the quarantine and everything that's been going on?
To be honest, it's so far, if you're an NFL beat writer, there isn't much difference.
Yeah.
This time of the year, because of free agency and all that's going on, I pretty much just live in my office at home. So it's not like I had to, you're not like you're at the facility. We're not at the facility here. So everything is from home. So, you know, you're on the phone, you're texting and all that. So it's just been different for us because it's a busy time as opposed to a baseball writer, basketball writer who now you're used to covering games right now and now there's nothing. So I hate to say fortunate, but like we're able to still do our jobs at the, you know, the appropriate job at the appropriate time of the year in that regard. It'll be really weird once you get to spring and there are no workouts and then God forbid that there's nothing in the summertime, you know, but like right now in life is in that, and from a job standpoint has been the same.
All right, John. So the big news here in Cleveland today, of course, is this Trent Williams news. His agent puts out a statement today. They're trying to, you know, get this trade to happen. What do you make of all this? It seems as though maybe there have not been too many suitors and the agent and the player maybe getting a little bit desperate here.
Yes, they definitely are. And they there's really nothing that's different about this, about him saying that. The Redskins had given him permission to seek a trade. That's not, you know, so it's not like this is any surprise that he wants to be traded or released. We've known that really since June. So I think what it is exactly what you said, that they're starting to get a little bit desperate to get out of there. And I think for a couple of reasons. One, they're kind of trapped because the Redskins don't have to trade him now. And they know it because the reason is that with the new CBA, you're not going to go sit out the year like you did last year. And because there's a $40,000 fine per day that you miss from the time training camp opens. That's not it's not something where a team can waive it at the end. That's now a legitimate fine. So you're going to pay that regardless, even if the team wouldn't want you to, you have to. You know, then, you know, there's an issue. If you leave the team for 5 days, once camp opens without team approval, then you're not going to get credit for that year. So he can't, if he sits out this year, he comes back with another year left on his contract. So therefore they know that if the Redskins don't trade him, they're going to make him come in and they will. I mean, the people I've talked to there, they said they will do that. So I think that's part of it. They understand that. And I know from there, and they just say, well, why don't you just release him? Well, because he's an asset. You can't just release the guy. They're not going to just release him. Why would they do that? You could take a low pick for him if you're going to do that. They are going to hold firm on at least not wanting to give him away. I do think there's some flexibility in terms of the terms they would take. But, you know, I think they'll hold firm. But I do think it goes back to what you said, some of the desperation on them. And then you look at the future for them, and it's like, would they really bring him back? I think the answer is yeah.
John Keim, ESPN with us. John, so the Browns have spent a lot of money here in free agency on right tackle with Jack Conklin. They have a massive hole at left tackle. So obviously they'd be interested in Trent Williams. They do have the 10th pick in the draft. It appears to be a good draft for offensive linemen early. But, you know, we were kind of debating what to do. And my partner is a little more interested in Trent than I am. Like, I would certainly be interested at the right price. What makes me hesitant, though, is he obviously missed all of last season. And right. He has missed a lot of games over the years, or at least he's missed time in almost every year, I want to say for 6-7 years, due to injury. So how concerned should we be, and how do we balance that versus how talented he is when he's on the field?
Oh, it's a legitimate concern for the exact reason you said. I think it's like 6 years where he hasn't played all 16 games. Now, there was it was in 2016, and I know this because I was going to the game 6 of the World Series, and I got the notice that Trent was suspended for 4 games. He missed 4 games in 2000. And by the way, that ruined my karma for that night because I had to pull over and do a story. But I digress. Those are the only 4 games he missed then. So that wasn't an injury thing. That was a suspension thing. Otherwise, he played all the games he was available. So that was a few years ago. But, yeah, it's a legitimate concern. I think the one thing that you look at with Trent, he is ultra-talented, and he's really good. And he fits what he fits any system, but he can, you know, in that in the scheme they have up there, I mean, he fit very well because he's athletic as heck. So, but I do think that's a concern. I think that's where teams would have a concern because you're going to have to pay Trent. I mean, he's considered himself the best tackle, so Lane Johnson makes $18 million. He would want more. He's going to want more than that. So you're going to have to pay that and then give up a pick. And that's where the difficult part comes because I think in this whole situation, the Redskins will tell you that until Trent agrees to a deal, it doesn't matter what compensation they want. And Trent's side is going to say, until they relax on those terms, we can't get a deal. But that's because what they really, you know, what I'm hearing is what they want is high, and so teams are reluctant to give up both a good pick and that money. And I know from the Redskins standpoint, they're going to look at this. If you're the Browns, you know, if you go and trade for Trent Williams, let's say you gave up a second, I think that might be a little bit high because you're talking the 10th pick in the second round. That seems high, but let's say they did that, then you can go with the 10th pick overall. Maybe you're going a receiver or something like that, or another defensive player, and or not receiver, but defensive player, whatever. You have more freedom to go do that. And so, like, and, you know, the thought would be, hey, you just pencil in Trent Williams' second pick. Well, he's an expensive second-round pick, but he's really good. And, yes, while this tackle class is really good, nobody compares to him. But, again, they'll be cheaper and younger and possibly more durable. So it's there's a lot of good with him, and there's enough there where you say, do I really want to make that kind of investment knowing all this?
John Kimes with us from ESPN, covers the Redskins, of course. You know, the Redskins traded with the Panthers for quarterback Kyle Allen, give a fifth-round pick. What's that mean for Haskins and what the Redskins are going to do at quarterback?
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's a – they like Dwayne Haskins, and they like how he finished. They want to see more. They want him to be able to compete for a starting job. If they had gone and brought, you know, signed a Cam Newton or Jameis Winston, they know the message it would have sent to Haskins is it's their job, not yours, and you're not going to compete for this because you're not where these guys are. They want to have a chance to develop Dwayne Haskins. So with Kyle Allen, you have a guy who can still push Dwayne Haskins because he knows the offense, the staff knows him, knows what he can do, and they don't know Dwayne as well. So he'll know that. So it will push him in that regard. But yet it's clear that he's going to be the guy. But if he struggles, you have a guy that can go in there. So I do think it certainly says that they want to try and develop him. I think that you know, the staff last year wasn't as interested in a long-range development plan because they were trying to win last year. And one of the things, you know, that I know is after Bill Callahan took over, that there was a stronger amount of attention paid to Haskins, and down the stretch it started to pay off. So, you know, I think they're hoping you can carry that into next year, but it's certainly what this shows is that they do want to see where this goes, and they want to see if they coach him a certain way, what is the result. And so I think they're going to kind of use this year, and you know, I'll be curious to see what happens this year and what they would do if it doesn't go well. I think then you move on. But they do want to see if what they think they can do with him can work. So this suggests that. And it gives them a guy who is a good backup, but someone who can push him enough that he has to keep working a certain way.
We're talking with John Kime of ESPN on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. John, you referenced the new coaching staff. Ron Rivera was a guy before the season ended last year that I was hoping the Browns would try to hire as a head coach. They didn't. Obviously, the Redskins jumped right on that. Obviously, he had a great run in Carolina. They were certainly very emotional. We never seen anything like that when he got fired. I know it's been a short period of time, and I don't know how much interaction you've had with him so far, but what is the early impression of Ron Rivera?
Yeah, you know, we've only been around him a couple times because of this crazy period, too.
Yeah.
The early impression is that he has a military background. That plays into a lot of his decisions, the way he shapes things and the way he approaches things. I think there's a detailed, disciplined approach in his way. Not like he's some drill sergeant, but I just think in the way he goes about things, and I think in the sort of structure he wants to create. And I think there's more synergy between Ron Rivera and the front office. That was a major problem in the past. As people there might not be surprised to hear that it happens with other teams too. So that was an issue. And so I think that seems like there's a really good working relationship. And I think, you know, we're not going to see the full force of him, because what you hear from Carolina was how good he was with the players. And, you know, sometimes people hear a player's coach and they think it's always a negative term. It doesn't mean you're soft on guys. It means you have a relationship with guys and they want to play for you. And so that was always the sense you got from Carolina. So I think we'll see the difference. I think one of the big things here that needed to happen was to reestablish that culture. And again, I mean, I'm sure people there are shaking their heads about everything I'm going to say, because it pertains to the Browns too.
Yeah.
But you have to change the culture. And I think everything in this league starts at the very top with the owners. And if the owner is a certain way, it's always going to make it difficult. And we've seen it there, and we see it here. But the coach can make a difference too. And I think for the Redskins, that's where he comes into play. And I think we'll see that more whenever they come back. But I just know from his own personal standpoint, you know, there's a big increase attention to detail, the discipline. And then I also think, like, I think in terms of building a team, I think he's more in tune with what they need to do as far as how he envisions it. And the word fit gets brought up a lot when they're signing some of these guys. They're not just pursuing names to fill name or to fill holes. They're pursuing fits. And I think there's been a difference in terms of team building as well.
John, as someone who grew up in this area, even though you've been covering the Redskins a while, I'm sure you still keep an eye on the Browns, obviously. And do you sometimes just marvel? I guess marvel's a wrong word. Just look at the Browns and say, how could this be? How could they be so bad, so inept for so long?
It's sad. I mean, I grew up going to games in the old stadium. I wrote a book on the darn place, you know. And so it's a sad thing to see. I have a son, my middle son. Two of my older sons are Browns fans, but the middle son is a diehard. And it's like, I just felt so bad for him last year, because, like, he was like, I've never been more excited for a season. I'm like,
right.
Oh, God, you know, don't say that. But like I said, everything starts at the top. And when you think you're smarter than everybody else, you're in trouble, and the team is in trouble. And when you're listening to all sorts of people and you're not really sure what you need to listen to, I think that's a problem. So you would hope there that they finally figured it out, that he finally put together the pieces right. But man, when you keep making changes like that, and you just, like, you know, when you try to be the smartest guy in the room, that's a problem. I don't see that working. The smartest people that I've been around with this stuff are the ones who ask a lot of questions and they don't feel like they have everything figured out. The best coach that I know was Joe Gibbs. Marty Schottenheimer that way, but Joe Gibbs, he believed in who he was as a coach, but he also knew that, you know, he seemed to understand his limitations and as to who he was and what he needed to surround himself with. And I don't, you know, just from afar, you don't get that sense there. So, you know, hopefully they finally got it figured out, but because it sounds like they maybe finally have all the guys that they want in place and see if it works, but you can't change as much as they do. But it also tells you, if you're changing that much and the people that you're bringing in aren't going elsewhere to be head coaches, maybe there's something wrong with the way you're doing this. You just, you know, don't always try to reinvent the wheel.
They do.
Yeah. Hey, John, last thing for me, I'm curious how the Redskins are dealing with all of this, you know, having to work from home, having to deal with these trades and free agency, you know, and the players not coming in and potentially not even having it practiced maybe until training camp if we get to that point. How do you see this playing out, I should say?
Yeah, you know, it's weird. It's a weird time, and I don't think that anybody truly knows. I think what'll be interesting, too, is, and I've talked to some players and some agents, too, about this and coaches, about players. Like, you're going to see who the self-motivated guys are, because it's those guys are the ones that they're, you know, some guys are cooped up in their apartment for, you know, just trying to stay in shape. How do you do that? Like, I was talking to Austin Eckler, the running back for the Chargers, the other day. He's like, yeah, there's a park across the street, so he's going over there doing pull-ups on the monkey bars. But, you know, you're afraid to go do that because you don't want to be touching everything outside. So, you know, but you have to be creative with what you do inside. And I think that's one of the things that'll be, you know, I think they're going to be curious to see what happens with that. And I think the other thing with this is when you have, I'll go back to Dwayne Haskins. Dwayne Haskins is in a situation where he's got to learn a new offense in his only his second year, and he can't be around the coaches. There's a good chance that the first time he's really around with these coaches and able to implement the playbook on the field is in July. So that was another reason why it was important to get Kyle Allen, because maybe he can help him transition with that by talking to him. And I also know Haskins has been very smart with what he's done this offseason. He's got to work with a quarterback's coach who knows his offense. They've studied the film. They're trying to see the routes that they run, et cetera. But it's different when you can't get out there and run it on the field. So I think those are the things that I'm curious to see how all that plays out. Teams with young quarterbacks. And the funny thing is, the last time Ron Rivera was a new head coach and had a new quarterback was in 2011 when they had the lockout. So that's, you know, so and Ken Zampezi, the quarterback's coach, had a rookie quarterback that year in Andy Dalton. So right. I think they have some experience with how to handle some of that, but it's still, back then guys could be out training with other guys. You can't do that now. So I think that'll be the one big thing to watch is what kind of shape do guys come back in whenever this ends.
John, let's wrap it up with where we began. What in the end do you think it's going to take if the Browns offer the 10th pick in the third round for Trent Williams? Does that get it done? What does it take in the end?
You know, it might. I think it might be like then at that point, maybe it's a third and a future five or something like that.
Right.
But the 10th pick, that's why, like, I know that they looked at the comp pick that they would get likely if Trent leaves at the free agency next year. They get a third round comp in 2022, depending on how the formula works out. It can also be negated. There's a chance they wouldn't get one. But right. Let's say they do. So, but a third-round comp, then the Browns' third-round pick right now is better than that. You know,
yes.
So you have to take that into consideration. So it could be that you do you give them a third and a five, and we'll give you a future six. So there could be some exchange like that. But I think they would like to get a little bit more than what they get in the comp. I also think then, and especially again, not all third-round picks are the same. The Browns
sure.
would be a better one. So I think you'd have a chance to at least have a good dialogue and probably get something done if they started with that pick.
John, we appreciate the time, man. Stay safe. We'll talk to you again soon.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me on, guys.